Hello guys, welcome to the Unboxing Podcast, and I hope you enjoy this episode of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe or follow or do both, whichever one it is. Hello boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Unboxing Podcast. It's been a minute, it's been a month. I think the last time we recorded was on the 27th of December, and this is almost January ending. I think it should end on Tuesday. Tuesday should be 31st, and January has been a lot of issues, having to resume school, and the issue with the new Naira notes, it's overwhelming. So I'm glad that this month is over. We should be over and done with this. I think I had even forgotten that I was supposed to have recorded the podcast, if not for the fact that I had set a reminder on my phone that, okay, I am supposed to record something within this time frame. I will have forgotten. That's the issue, recording bi-weekly. If not for school and other issues, having to get a good avenue or a proper place to record, I would have loved to record at least So far, so good. 2023, we're just 28 days into 2023, and it's giving hardship, it's giving issues. The while I faced because of old Naira notes, it's something. I heard the market at school where we're kind of confined, we cannot really go out, and I went to get provisions for myself. I took the old Naira notes, and these people rejected it. I had to look for a way to get new Naira notes from school. I did, and then when I went to get stuff, they were not having new Naira notes to give me as change. You're telling me to take back old Naira notes. The same store that were not collecting old Naira notes are the people issuing out. It's a lot of issues, Cha. I can't wait for the stress and everything to go. So let's just say, I just hope that the remaining parts, the remainder parts of 2023 does not unfold like this, because this wahala and stress, honestly speaking, it's not for me. This is supposed to be the year I become hot, but then it's cold gone. Plus the ailment, I swear, the cold, Hamatan, you should want me going to. I'm already tired of it. I think I've suffered running nose like twice or thrice already, and I need a break. So going into what we're discussing for the month of January, I think in December 2022 we unboxed my Tinder experience, and it was a roller coaster. It was a lot. So 2023, I was having an introspection, I think, 3 days ago. I'd gotten back from class, and I was at that period where life was hitting me. And I remember this piece I wrote in 2020 about what it really meant to be an effeminate person in Nigeria. Okay, so I was just having this introspection. I felt like, okay, I should talk about this thing on my podcast, kind of giving details to what I had already written before. A lot of people had read it. It's a pinned post on my socials, you understand? And I feel like, okay, yes, I was able to express myself in writing. I feel it's going to be okay if I'm able to discuss it on my podcast, because why not? So from the opening of the paper, I think I started it with the part where I discussed a boy who was killed because of his love for cosmetics. You understand? The boy was killed because he had liked makeup and he had liked cosmetics and all those kind of stuff like that. And it kind of took me back to my childhood, that era when I was growing up. And growing up, it was like people wanted you to hate effeminate people. Now, your friends, you may be friends with people who are not effeminate, who are muscular, or women who are feminine, and okay, they do not they had already conformed into the gender stereotypes, and then because they are your friends, they feel like, okay, it's not gonna be cool if they should tell you the truth that you're effeminate. So instead of really telling you that you are effeminate, they tell you, oh my god, this person is so effeminate, he's so girly. You know, he's so girly, and you understand, it's somehow it gets to you because then you're not really seeing your own knee or what's actually happening, that kind of thing. So growing up, we were really taught that it was bad to be effeminate, and we should make efforts, like as a person, we should make efforts, conscious efforts, not to be feminine, to be more masculine. And I shouldn't really, really be friends with effeminate people. You understand? People really made it a responsibility to kind of pinpoint the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I dress. Actually, I've been a fashion nonconformist since birth. But still, understand, okay, why do you like the color pink? Why do you like the color this? Why don't you like football? Why don't you like this? And it goes on and on and on like that. So really, people really felt the need and the duty to pinpoint all those kind of stuff. You understand? And okay, how did I really affect my family? It affected my family in such a way that my mother had to always cook defenses. She always had to be defensive in order for me not to get hurt, or in order for her reputation not to be punctured. More like she tell people that he grew up with girls, etc., all those kind of stuff like that. Or they'll be like, he didn't really have much boys to emulate, you understand? And that excuse was kind of handy because my father wasn't really in town. But I think if there should be anybody who should be feminine, it should be my younger brother, because he has more memory with women than I ever would, you understand? And it goes down to a stereotype about effeminate men always getting along with women. They believe that because you're effeminate, you are supposed to be able to get along with women. So that was kind of, that's untrue. So going down to secondary school, it was still something, he's effeminate, it's normal. Boy, girl, etc., like that, hand play, all that kind of stuff. Until I got to GS1, GS2, GS3, and it became a problem. Boy, girl, can you just walk like a man? Those kind of stuff that, okay, people trying to point to you that you are a problem. You're supposed to fix something that you have. There's something you are not having. You're not giving something you should be giving. Like, get a grip on yourself. You understand? Like, they do not really care if you are good at school, if you are very articulate, if you are smart, if you are neat. All those things they should be able to kind of praise. No, they never extolled me for those kind of things. The only thing they were able to do was to pinpoint the fact that this person is effeminate. That's like the number one thing they did. Understand? And it became a problem. I think that was the first time I think I felt a little bit inferior. Not just a little bit. Come on, I felt inferior. Because it was a lot for me to process. You understand? And gradually, it moved from just my classmates being able to pinpoint and pick on me because of how I walked or how I spoke or how all kind of things played out. Teachers began to pick interest in it, kind of sending this kind of, okay, weirdo, that kind of snare like that. I think there was something wrong with you, you understand? In a school where teachers are supposed to protect the interests of students or minorities, you all believe that it's a reverse. You understand? It's always a reverse because the teachers are always into students who are already smart, who are intelligent. Those are when they should actually cater for everybody. So it's not really something surprising that the teachers joined other people to pick on me because I was effeminate. You understand? It was not really, really a big deal for them like that. So I was being picked on because I was effeminate, and my teachers would always give me those useless cars like, this boy is not okay. I could remember in SS3 when there were some rumors about people getting laid in an uncompleted building, and the rumors went around the school, and okay, it landed some people in trouble. They got to the staff office and they were discussing the issue, and Somehow, one of our lecturers asked, "What about Israel?" And so I was like, "Forget that one." More like giving that kind of, he's not up to the task. That kind of thing like that. You get it's somehow it's weird. Not as if I wanted to be seen in that light, but then it's like this person has already created a stereotype about you that okay, you are not good enough already. Like, who do you think you are? Okay, he was my teacher then, so that was who he thought he was. So that's one of it. I think I had a debate one time, and someone referred to me on assembly that I was the best male catwalker in school, and all what my teachers did were to laugh at it and make jests of me. You get it? And then you come back home, and your siblings will have to ask you, "Why do you act like this?" Because they're gradually getting ashamed of you. It's like, okay. Do you have to be like this? Why can't you just be like other normal boys? You understand? So you're like, Israel, why are you like this? Why are you like this? Do you have to do like this? Instead of acting like this, try to do like this. So I just saw myself at some point depressed, trying to act in a particular way, working as if I was made to walk on two parallel lines that should never meet, trying to use less of my hands in talking. Some people will tell you that you're supposed to hit the gym because it will make you more muscular and more masculine. All those kind of things. It's the things that people who are feminists suffer in Nigeria. I'm using the word Nigeria because I have not been out of Nigeria before, and I cannot really tell the experience of people who are effeminate outside Nigeria. So I'm kind of discussing, using myself as an example. Okay, this is what people who are effeminate in Nigeria, this is what they actually face. You understand? So I made those conscious efforts to alter those kind of things. It had effects on my grades, yes. I think sometimes I'm very certain that I had a lot of issues with my parents, my dad especially, because of how effeminate I was and things like that. And the first thing I noticed in a man, or when I see a man moving, is how masculine he is. Or let me use the word, let me use past tense because I think that's in the past. The first thing I noticed when I see a man was how masculine he was, because that was who I aspired to be. I just wanted to be that normal boy that nobody really had an issue with. You understand? Because this kind of thing kind of made me question my life choices. Like, I began to get scared of human beings. Like, you understand? I couldn't really tell if someone genuinely liked me, or this person was getting close to warn me about how effeminate I was. You understand? So I was questioning my decisions. Should I be a carpenter? Let's just be making wood, hitting wood, and knacking it in such a way that nobody really cares about my life. You understand? Or should I be this? No, I cannot be this. Those kind of things like that, it kind of killed that active social person I was. It just gave me this kind of that squiggered effect, all that kind of things. So yes, it was that. It was that issue. I had an issue with that. And let's not forget to say that it was always relieving whether the other boys be like, "You have improved." You understand? I think I got close to some boys who I would be able to ask, "Okay, how about now?" When I walk to a mirror and I look at myself, and they would tell me, "Oh, it's a lot better. You're better than you were before." And it is like that. And it was kind of relieving and soothing when boys give me that kind of compliment. But during that ENSAS protest, I think one of the people who have suffered police brutality is effeminate people. The general notion that once you're effeminate means you are gay. You understand? So when you get hold up, the first thing they do is to search your phone. all those kind of inhumane things. They breach all your fundamental rights. Just, you understand, just because of that stereotype, that because you're a feminist, you're a gay. And I think there was one time my friend in school, we were just walking and we were having discussions, and I was being loud, which is not something you would see every day. I was being unnecessarily loud. And then there was this point where he said that it's good that you have aspirations to leave the country. And I asked him why. And he said, because there's a tendency that you might get killed. I took a pause. It was weird because, okay, you want to say this and just say it. And I asked him why he said that, and he was unable to. And it's something that I kept at heart. It lasted 3 months, and I asked him again after 3 months, why did you say what you said? What do you think that I'll get killed? And what he said was, because of how open-minded I am, and because of the way I saw things, it wasn't the way other people saw things. And I asked him, who has ever been killed for being open-minded? I think Wole Soyinka is open-minded, Chimamanda is open-minded. So why haven't those people been killed? Is there something you are not telling me? You understand? And the way he brushed it over. Let's be frank. The essentials is the fact that I'm effeminate, and that's kind of like the thing. He feels like, okay, because this person is effeminate, he might get killed by these people. That was a subtle way of saying it. And somehow, a lot of people don't really see a problem with these things. They don't see that this thing is an issue. It's something that should be tackled. They feel like you are the person who should be tackled. Somehow, that's how people feel. And that's not just the first. Let's not talk about other people who feel like it's something that you should tone it down. Like, that this person I met on Facebook, and the first conversation we had was about this thing I'd written about effeminate people. And later on, I saw him going out to bash other effeminate people. And it didn't make sense. When I confronted him, he said that he didn't know. He thought that effeminacy was only, he had to only do it only walking, not emotions. You understand? It's a way, like, they impair you. They just believe that, okay, this is how you are. This is who you are. Like, this is the box for you. And you fit in just perfectly. So that's, like, everything about what I had endured as an effeminate person in Nigeria, living in Nigeria. And, okay, years have passed, and I think I've reached a place of acceptance. I've reached a place where I really do not really crave for people's acceptance. I've accepted myself, and in such a way that I almost do not give a fuck about what people think about me. But then we are social beings, and we give a fuck even when we do not. You understand? There are instances, there are times that what people would say will get to you. You understand? When they begin to question and give all those stereotypical bullshits to you, it's something. So, in essence, I'm just discussing this not because I need pity, because honestly speaking, I do not need pity. But then it's more like an enlightenment to people to know that, number one, having memory with other boys does not really, really make a person less effeminate. Hanging out with boys or playing football or not doing domestic chores will not make you more masculine than you should. That's one thing. And I think another thing is people should learn to mind their business. It's like a very easy concept. As long as what I do does not really interfere with your human rights or with your existence, I think it's going to be favorable for both of us if you can give space, like allow people to leave. Because Chile, people are sad. A lot is going on. You understand? As I was talking at the intro, talking about how hard it is to get naira notes, to go to school, to make 2-1. Coming to add this issue of somebody's, it's a lot to make somebody psych. Like, give people their space. let people live. You understand? Like, I think that's like the central theme of this podcast, or this particular episode of this podcast. You need to let other people live. Like, the world does not revolve around you. If other people need to live, like, life is short. We all are gonna die. Like, whether you like it or not. If you like, stay 130 years, you will die one day. And all this, your initial gra-gra, is going to follow you and go. You'll be buried with it. So just let other people to just live and be happy and exist the way they want to exist. Other than you shoving down your stereotypical bullshit down people's throats. Okay, this begins to sound like a weed. Which is not. It's a subtle weed, but it's not really, really a weed. So I think that is that about being effeminate. And I think I would really love to get feedbacks about anything related to this topic. Maybe you've endured those kind of stuff, or you know somebody who has. We've reacted typically bad to other people who are effeminate, because I know that at some point there was a way that this thing took a toll on me, and I reacted very terribly to some effeminate people, which I apologize at some point in my life because of, okay, to make myself feel better, I kind of did shit to other people, which is not nice. You understand? So I think we all have stories to share, and I would love to see feedbacks. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, you should, and be able to drop using Anchor app. Yes, you can drop audios, which I would love to listen, and most likely play on the next episode. And if you could leave comments, you could just leave comments on the review, and I'll be able to see them and I'll read them. So until then, I think this is the end of the second episode of this podcast, and I am glad that you've listened. It's amazing. I love the fact that I'm starting this journey in 2023, and okay, I might not be as consistent as I want to be, but then I am doing it, and I promise I'm going to keep on getting better. I'm going to put more efforts in doing this thing that I should. So until the next episode, don't forget to subscribe, recommend the podcast to your friends, and see you in the next episode.